hot.
Government Operations Committee will come to order. Roll call, please.
Congressman Big Horse? Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congressman Maker? Congresswoman Pratt?
Atsia.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Atsia.
We have a quorum. Next on the agenda is prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again as we come to this table to work on the business for the betterment of our people. Give us kind hearts and strong minds to do the will of the people. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes for April 2nd.
Anybody else hot?
Yes. Every woman here is hot.
Are they broke?
Huh?
They're both on cool. Let's just go on hot air.
The heading of on page 3, I think it's debates. Wasn't it debates? Consideration of ONCA 1915. Isn't it called debates? I'm pretty sure it is plural. In the heading of the.
I don't have a copy.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. Chairman, entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Congresswoman Whitehorn. Second by Congressman Potts.
Thanks.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes.
Yes.
It's a unanimous yes. Yes.
I don't know what happened, but it appears that Congressman Potts and I are sharing one packet. I don't know if I did something real crazy with mine. Thank you.
Hey, look at that, a packet.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is ONCA, consideration of ONCA 1861, an act to amend and restate 15 ONC section 5101 et cetera, and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. Congressman Potts, will you? I know Congresswoman Whitehorn has a minute. Will you take over the chair of the meeting, please?
Who's the vice chair?
The person that's not here.
Okay, sorry. Consideration of ONCA 1861. Congresswoman Edwards, you have the floor.
Okay, here we are with the Boards Act. It's back.
I have amendments to it, but I'm looking for my copies of them right now.
And I had a couple of amendments. Do you remember what happened to those amendments that I had?
1861, right here.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Look at you.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, did you have amendments too?
Here, somebody make them.
No, I'll ask Congresswoman Pratt, do you have any amendments?
That's a copy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm trying to find somebody that doesn't have amendments to be the chair.
Well,
I can chair. I got this.
I need to look at what. Because I just had one.
I can do it.
Okay.
You do it.
Doing it.
Do it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Okay, I have an amendment. page 2, line 60.
Okay.
I probably need a little bit of work on the wording. I did this really late last night. Page 2, line 60, insert new section C. Should a board member resign, be removed, or pass away during service, the principal chief or branch controlling the appointment may appoint a replacement to complete the term of the vacant seat, subject to confirmation when required by law. And re-letter section 3 accordingly.
There is an amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Second for discussion. Any discussion?
Do I need to sign these, or are you okay just with it typed out like that? Perfect.
Any discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I just noticed when I read through the bill that there was no provision for a replacement of a remainder term should you have a board member vacate the seat. I think it's best to carry. I think that's what we currently do in law when a term is, if somebody has to quit, if they're moving away, we reappoint for the remainder of the term. So that's what that language will do.
Any further discussion? None. We'll vote on the passage of the amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Page 2, line 60. Okay, let me ask a question. On C, where it says all board service requiring appointment or confirmation of Congress shall be deemed to begin on. I think this only applies. Yeah, that all needs amending. That only applies to people that are confirmed during a congressional session. So page 2, line 60, strike or and insert and. Page 2, line 62, after confirmed, insert, comma, when the new appointee replaces an acting board member.
There is an amendment. Is there a second?
Can I hear it again?
Okay. Do you want me to read it, how it would be?
Yeah.
Okay. 60. All board service requiring appointment and confirmation of the Osage Congress shall be deemed to begin on the last day of regular session where the appointee was confirmed, when the new appointee replaces an acting board member. No board member whose term has expired shall hold over. I made this original amendment to the Boards and Commissions Act, and the reason I made it is because we had board members
that were
holdover language wasn't mine. Somebody else put that in there. The first sentence was my amendment to it, and the reason that I did that is years ago when I first got in Congress, I found that some board members were unclear if they were a sitting board member and somebody else got appointed when their term actually ended or began. The law didn't address it, so I thought it would be best if you have a situation where there's a new appointee that's been appointed in the place of an old board member, that there be a time when that seat trade places, and I chose it to be the last day of the session that they were confirmed in.
See, I thought we were trying to get everyone to have the same start date and end date on a board when they...
That would only apply to board members that have a new appointment. I guess it wouldn't matter if it was the same board member holding the position year over year. So that was the purpose of my original amendment to the Boards and Commissions Act, is to give a time certain, because we had board members that didn't have anywhere that they could look to see when their service began and when it ended. Does it begin when they're not interim appointments? I don't think it applies to interim appointments, because that's pretty specific. To me, it's only the instances if you have an appointee.
Well, see, I thought that if you were an interim appointment and you got confirmed, the day of your confirmation is when you start, and you're deemed to have started the last day of the session. And then you will go till the end of the last day of the session where your term expires. And then a new person would take over as of the last day. Because otherwise, doesn't that mean?
Interim appointees are sworn in immediately and can do their work on a board immediately. So,
well,
but their service.
It doesn't relate back to when they were appointed, does it?
No.
Of course, I have in here that. I did have in here that they don't get paid until they're confirmed.
Right.
I thought that was right. Oh, you think it's wrong?
Maybe I just am overthinking it.
I think so.
Okay.
But I don't want to call you out.
There is an amendment. There's a second. Any further discussion?
Who seconded it?
I believe you did for discussion.
No, I just said I had a question. Did I second it? I don't believe I
on
did.
The time frame thing?
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't think I seconded it.
Okay. There is an amendment. Is there a second? Is there a second? Seeing none, the amendment dies for lack of a second.
Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your whole conversation. FYI, I knew I didn't hear that whole conversation between
it's
you.
It's okay.
Okay.
It turns out to be of no consequence.
I mean,
sorry, I didn't help you.
I wasn't that held fast to that. My next amendment is page 3. Do you have the thing? Page 3, line 128. That's a good trick. Page 3, line 128, after stipend, insert, and expense allowance. Page 3, line 134, after stipend, insert, and expense allowance. Page 4, line 37, after stipend, insert, and expense allowance. Page 4, line 141, after stipends, insert, and expense allowance. Page 4, line 430, after period, insert, compensation and expenses allowed by funding, compensation and expense allowance funding levels of board shall be officially communicated to Congress by the executive branch on or before July 15th for the following fiscal year. Page 4, line 136, after stipends, insert and expense allowance. Page 4, line 149, after compensation, insert and expense allowance. The reason I'm making...
you have the floor. Go ahead.
I don't have a second to my amendment, but I guess I can just talk about my amendment right now. Okay, I'm going to talk about my amendment. There's no language in here that addresses expense allowance. It just addresses stipends and compensation. I think that the bill uses language if any, so that means if any stipends or expense allowances, but it doesn't address expense allowances. Our boards are used to those. I think that the practice might occur outside of the law if it's not contained in the law, so we might as well have it in the law. And I think that it's a good idea for the chief's office to, as you have in here, to put their budgets in a request for an appropriation, and so they can do the budgets and expense allowance. That's all in his ballpark. But if you're going to put the stipends within the, if you're going to put those within each branch, then the the executive office needs to dictate what that's going to be, and we need to know it by July 15th of every year what the stipend expense allowance for the enterprise boards are, because I do think it needs to be set across the board. So that's what this amendment will do.
I understand. See, I took it out because what is an expense allowance? I mean, is it still income to the... I mean, I figured it made more sense to just get away from that because we got away from it. I mean, I know it says that in the Constitution, and I don't really care whether we... I just thought it was confusing. And I think some boards, I recall, maybe it's not happening now, but they were having, like, the offices making travel arrangements for them and putting them on a credit card. And I didn't think that that was never my idea of what was going to happen with boards.
We have an amendment. Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Second for discussion.
So is expense allowance defined anywhere?
I don't believe so.
I don't know that it is or it isn't, but if you're not going to, they're not going to continue on with that, then you need to say stipend is inclusive of all expenses incurred in your service on this board. Something to that effect, because if you don't, there's going to be a misunderstanding about this.
My understanding was they didn't have expense allowances. That money was appropriated for travel for the board, which was governed by 15-1A-101, what was travel.
Travel and...
an office expense and any other expenditures that board may have was all appropriated to the board.
They had an expense allowance. They had travel and food.
I don't believe so. Food. I think they had...
They used to. Did
we
that.
Got rid of that.
I can double check.
Well, when they travel to... when boards travel to conventions or events... are you telling me they don't get a per diem? And
that would be in travel.
See, I didn't think that they did. I thought they got that their pay was for them to go. Well, that's what it should have been.
That's not what the resolution says.
Well,
all I'm saying is
it because
can you find that
at some point
resolution?
I thought that they got their compensation if they needed to go. They wanted to go to Res every year. And they paid to go to Res out of their... why?
I don't believe that's what the resolution that sets board compensation says. I don't know what the number for that is. Let me see if I can find it.
So you're saying that if there's an expense allowance of $1,500, then they turn everything into the nation and the nation...
they're allowed travel, yes, but I thought they were allowed expenses for travel. Maybe that's an old resolution. Maybe I'm just wrong about that.
Well, my notion was to make it as easy as possible to not need a whole new employee to do travel and reimbursement for $900,000 worth of boards. I mean...
what's that resolution called?
Use the word stipend and see if it comes up.
Mm. My iPad doesn't have a search feature.
Okay, here. I'll try to find
it.
ONCR 1828, a resolution to set the compensation allowance for boards, the association for fiscal years 2019 and 2020. Compensation and reimbursement allowances.
So they have stipend and travel is what they're given then.
Correct.
And the travel is reimbursement.
I don't know that that's designated anywhere. It can be either reimbursement or through the nation's travel office, I would. That's.
So my question is about this amendment. You don't have the travel in there. And So your expectations of the board member is if they have any travel that they need to do in their work, that, that they just pay for that on their own.
That was my idea. But if you want to, well, how many board members do we have now? 50?
We have a lot.
60?
But, you know, I have board members come up and tell me that their travel is not enough, that they have to come out of pocket to do things, and yeah, and their compensation isn't enough. And, you know,
this goes back to those of us that have sat on a board and never gotten paid a penny.
Whether I agree or disagree with that, whether I agree or disagree, it's going to be an issue by this change. So if...
What's the current amount of travel reimbursement?
And then when I first came on to Congress back in 2012, one of the boards, from what I heard, I didn't do the investigations myself, that was an enterprise board, was spending a lot of the enterprise's money on
travel.
Mm-hmm. And so by putting them back into the entity's budget, what are your expectations out of that?
Currently, the travel for advisory boards is $6,000 for business board one. It is $10,000 for commission board at $6,000. Non-business boards is $6,000, and the health board is $10,000.
So that's an appropriation to the board.
Correct. It would be administered through the nation's accounting office.
Okay, well, that would not be changed by what's in here.
That doesn't call for any type of resolution to set compensation. I was hoping we were going to get away from that. And since most of the boards are executive branch boards, we'd see it in a budget.
Right.
And then that amendment that I made, the page four, compensation expense allowance funding levels of boards. This is exclusive. It's in the group under enterprise board compensation. Shall be officially communicated to Congress by the executive branch on or before July 15th of the following year. So he would set the compensation levels of the enterprise boards and notice Congress what it is.
Read it again. If you take out the travel reimbursement, so don't read
just
that
put, just say compensation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Page 4, line 43, after the period, 143, is that what I said? After the period, insert compensation funding levels of boards shall be officially communicated to Congress by the executive branch on or before July 15th for the following fiscal year. I thought.
I guess you could say travel reimbursement expense, if any, or travel reimbursement allowance.
So you want to say travel reimbursement?
Compensation and travel reimbursement of all boards, is that what it says?
Now, this was exclusive to the page 4, line 143, mm-hmm, enterprise board. That's what D talks about, okay, is enterprise boards, because you're requesting in this, you're requesting that the board compensation goes into a budget as presented to Congress. Mm-hmm. What I thought when I read this bill is you were trying to get away from setting those compensation levels, mm-hmm, for boards. Mm-hmm. So if the chief is going to send us a budget for the governance boards over here that we approve, and then the enterprise entities are being paid out of the funds of the enterprise, I thought that there needed to be something communicated because the law also says all boards get the same level of funding.
Right.
So I thought that the chief needed to tell us what his board members on those enterprise boards, what that level was when he sent over the budget.
Okay, so read it to me again. Part of D.
After that period, it says, and to be specifically listed in the monthly financials of the page 143, yep. After the period, okay. After the period, insert, it's a new sentence, compensation, let me leave expense allowance, compensation and travel reimbursement funding levels of the board shall be officially communicated to Congress by the executive branch on or before July 15th for the following fiscal year.
Okay. Second.
Would you like to withdraw and restate your amendment?
My question is, do you want me to change the word and expense allowance, because I wasn't working looking off of this, or looking off of that, the resolution. Do you want to include the words travel reimbursement instead of expense allowance, where I have that?
I'd rather it be that, but are we going? Yes.
Okay, so let me fix this on this amendment. There's a pen right behind your...
You following, Angela?
So, I have a question.
Congresswoman Pratt.
No.
It's withdrawn.
Oh, but you're not talking about this?
Yeah, no, I'll wait for.
I put dittos over everything. Will you get it?
Okay. Okay.
Find the recycle bin so I can see if my papers are in there. They're sitting here. I'm serious, I have to go through them. I gotta get my SH policy.
Okay.
Document on.
Do you want me to restate this whole amendment again?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Page 3 is where it starts, line 128. After stipend, insert, and travel reimbursement. Page 3, line 134, after parentheses, stipend, close parentheses, insert, and travel reimbursement. Page 4, line 37, after stipends, insert, and travel reimbursement. Page 4, line 141, after parentheses, stipends, close parentheses, insert, and travel reimbursement. Page 4, line 143, after the period, insert, compensation and travel reimbursement funding level of the boards shall be officially communicated to Congress by the executive branch on or before July 15th for the following fiscal year. Continuing on, page 4, line 146, after stipends, insert, and travel reimbursement. Page 4, line 149, after compensation, insert, and travel reimbursement.
There is an amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Second for discussion. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes.
Now, one question I have, and this concerns me, is what do we, I mean, when these things start getting out of hand, hopefully this Congress is going to be able to say, we can't continue to pay these because... I mean, that, I contemplated that there would be a ceiling myself, but.
Well.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I didn't. I could only go on the face value of reading.
I understand.
Reading the bill, and it looked like to me that you had no language about setting compensation levels for boards. So I thought there needed to be, at least with the enterprise board, some controlling factor of a statement of what their compensation and travel reimbursement levels were. I mean, the executive branch knows what they have to work with.
Congresswoman Pratt, do you have any further discussion?
Just hope that it's never to the detriment of direct assistance to the people.
Okay, hold on. What copy are you? Because I'm not looking at the same copy that's on. That's why I'm kind of behind, and I can't see. What does it say at the top? Because that's not the same.
I'm pulling up on the internet. Is it a committee version?
Yes.
September 25th.
Okay. Well, dang it. I don't think that's...
This is what came back out of...
Okay.
Can I make them?
Because I'm seeing... It's... All right.
Can the chair make an amendment? She doesn't like that idea. I'll make them for you, and then you can talk about them. No, you don't. Bye. Page 2, line 70. Did you find the right version yet, Congress?
Yes. All right, I'm good.
Page 2, line 70, strike 18 and insert 9.
A motion or an amendment and a second for discussion. For discussion purposes, thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn, for authoring this amendment. This amendment specifically deals with the provision on page 2, line 70. It says, boards that do not meet as required with a quorum for a period of 18 months shall be deemed dissolved. I felt that 18 months was too long of a time for a board to go without meeting, so 9 was more acceptable. If a board goes 3/4 without meeting, I don't see the need for them to continue in operation. So this amendment just shortens the requirement from 18 months to 9 months. Any further discussion on the amendment?
I would support that.
Well, I hope you introduced it.
I have voted no on my
there is an amendment
before.
There is a second. All those, any further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have another amendment. Page 4, line 154 and a half. Insert, this bill shall be effective as of October 31st, 2019, upon signature of the principal chief or upon signature of the Speaker of the Osage Nation Congress following legislative override.
What's the date?
I believe it says October 1st on the paper.
October 1st, 2019.
If you can scroll to page 4. There is an amendment. There is a second. For discussion again, thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn, for authoring this amendment. The current effective date is upon signature of the principal chief. I felt that that would put us in a little state of confusion at this point. So making this effective October 1, which is the start of the new fiscal year. So anticipating the chief signing this bill into law, that would allow them to plan through July 15th through their annual budget submission. And then, of course, that would be effective as of October 1. So there's an amendment. There's a second. Any further discussion on the amendment?
I support this amendment.
Thank you.
That makes all the difference.
I know, right?
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes.
Okay.
I have an amendment.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Page. Now I'm confused where we were. Page 2, line 108, insert a new section. Board membership on a particular board or commission is limited to 2 consecutive terms, period. Board officers shall not serve more than 2 consecutive terms in the same board or commission office. Does that make sense to you, the same office meaning as an officer?
No.
So how do I say that?
You already say that on D. Do you want to say it again? The last sentence of D?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, withdraw and restate. Board membership on a particular board or commission is limited to 2 consecutive terms, period.
There is an amendment. Is there a second?
Discussion.
There is no second. Is there second. A second for discussion?
Actually, I spoke to the chief about this, and we're working on term limits. So I think that the idea in a board is that you let interested members of the nation serve on these boards, and you don't make them so that they are so exclusive that no one else gets to do it. So you continue to appoint the same person over and over and over and over again to a board, there's not going to be an opportunity for anyone else to serve. And I think we've been seeing a lot of that. So I spoke to him about it, and he didn't have a problem with it. At least when I talked to him about it, he didn't.
How long ago was that?
A month. Is something happened in the interim that would cause him to change his mind?
I don't know. There's a second. Any further discussion on the amendment?
I have an amendment to the amendment.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Can I see your thing? Strike 2 and insert 3.
So that would be 9 years?
Wait a minute. So, are there terms to be on a board? Like when you're 3-year terms?
Yes.
Or sometimes 1, or sometimes 2.
I withdraw.
The amendment to the amendment is withdrawn. The amendment still stands. Is there any further discussion?
Wait, but can I have it repeated? Because it says, right now it says, no chair shall serve more than 2 consecutive terms.
Correct.
New section, board membership on a particular board or commission is limited to 2 consecutive terms. So actually, you could go off, not serve, and come back on, but you're only going to get 2 consecutive terms.
Is an amendment? Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion.
I'm just not sure how I'm not sure how I feel about that, because, well, I mean, it's 6 years, but we have a really hard time getting board members too. So I don't know. All right.
I think we
We'll see.
Move on to voting on the passage of the amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, signify by saying yes. Seeing none, the amendment passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Are we finished with amendments?
Congresswoman Pratt.
So on, I just wanted to discuss the section of the absence, the 50% absence. A 50% absence from record. So you get a year. So it takes a year for you to know if you miss six, if it's monthly, or still 6 months for quarterly. And then also, I thought some had discussed about how the chair, maybe underneath where it says the chair, the elected chair, the chair's responsibility of notifying the executive branch, Congress, both of a board, of a board resignation, because that didn't happen, and their board was actually, in one instance, their board actually discussed, because I'm just saying that 6 months would go by, and you don't even know that till after the first year, actually. Yeah, okay. So you don't know that till after the first year, but you get six absences. And then, but in the one instance, they had missed several months, and nobody contacted them. So I don't know if we should look at the percentage of, isn't there somewhere a bill that has, like, if you miss three, where is that at? I've read that somewhere. If you have like three consecutive absences, then it's somewhere. Actually, I thought it was in gaming somewhere, discussing the gaming board. It's written somewhere.
So, yeah, some legislation that have established boards have their own duties, and just like the Gaming Reform Act, it does have specific duties of board members.
Right.
So I don't know if it would be there. I can't recall.
I've read it somewhere, but I know at one time it was not the, it was the Osage LLC board, or Tallgrass, that they had been not confirmed yet, I think, but there was about six meetings.
That someone missed,
because I voted no for them because they actually met the other board members that day. They had been appointed, they were an appointee, awaiting confirmation, and I know that the board had been meeting in the meantime, and they actually met the person that day out in the lobby for their confirmation, because they hadn't attended any of the meetings. So I just,
I understand.
So what do you think? So what are you thinking? I mean, 50% is pretty good. And then the thing about it is, if you miss it, you can, you know, you can get excused.
So you go a year, and if you miss six, then, or if you miss five, then it's okay. I don't know. I've seen it written somewhere.
It actually says that it constitutes cause and may be grounds for removal.
Papers are really noticed in called meetings in a fiscal year. Okay, well, that wording is different also than it was previously. So, I don't know. But I also think that the board should notify the Congress executive. I mean, because like I said, their board, another board, was literally discussing, we need to remove this person, and they were, the deal. And so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So you're a part of the board, and you're sitting around, like Shannon, if
I'm not here, I want someone to come looking for me.
I understand. And
so someone needs, you know, to go looking for them, and they didn't. I mean, that's as simple as a conversation, though, but it's being put in other law that it should be lawful for them to do so, for them to contact, and they'll be the first ones to know. Executive branch and Congress members don't go to every single meeting to know. They would know.
Anyways. Correct. And for discussion, I was part of those discussions. The bill being referenced is another bill of mine that requires the assistant principal chief to notify Congress within 5 days of a board vacancy. The reason I don't believe that it should be included in this law is the complication of who makes that determination. Do we put in this law that the administrative assistant, not all boards have administrative assistants, the chair, what happens if the chair resigns, a quorum of the board, what happens if they no longer have a quorum? I think there are just too many complications to putting who should notify the executive branch in the notify-e law. Instead, I believe that the responsibility should lie on the executive branch, where all of these boards report to.
Right, and I get that, but then there's nothing in the other bill stating what happens if they don't, because what if they wait several months like they did for the chief or assistant chief to know that someone had resigned? And this, I mean, and in certain instances, maybe not the entire Congress is notified, but some members of Congress and or the Speaker is notified of someone no longer being on the board. But, okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, board members that are appointments or board members that have a term attached to their service in office have to go through Article 12 removal process. So that would entail forming a select committee to remove a board member. I think others that don't go through confirmation and don't have a term have other ways that they can be removed from their seat. So 50% absence records is considered cause for grounds for removal.
Right, I'm past that. Okay. Like, we don't even, because that the other bill that I was looking at doesn't have that original language in it.
Okay.
And so then, but then we kind of meshed into the notification of board members.
Okay, all right. I was lost in that conversation then.
Congress.
Do you have any other amendments, Angela?
Well, I have a question regarding, help me remember, is there an attorney general opinion or not on, it says it references employees, but what about board members on contract or with contract? Is there an attorney general opinion on that or no? I don't recall. I've heard that, but I don't recall seeing it. Anyone know?
Contracts.
Being a board member, but also, because it references employees and board members or whatever. But
I do believe there is an attorney general opinion on that. Advises whether or not an individual holding a contract with the nation can also serve on a board. I believe the determination was that is not allowable.
On what basis?
I do not remember the details of the Attorney General opinion.
So you're an employee and you can serve on a board, but you can't be a contractor and serve on a board?
That was my question, because I remember hearing something about it. I can't remember word for word what it said in the Attorney General's opinion, but I just was looking at this stating, yes, you can be on a governance board and an employee.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Ms. Merle, do you know if we have a book in the back or in the clerk's office on attorney general's opinions? We used to have one. I don't know if we still have that or not.
Chair will entertain a motion for a 5-minute recess.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, seeing none, we are in recess.
Yeah. I think that needs to be fixed.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I don't want us to miss that if it is a thing.
So if you're on a governance board, then you can, but if you're on an advisory board,
that's what it says.